Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. I trust that you have already sensed the Lord's presence. He's already ministered to you through the music, the congregational singing, and the special music as well. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, we're going to be reading verse 14 down to verse 21. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting.'" And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we thank you, Lord God, for, first of all, your presence in this place. Thank you for this to being a place of refuge. Thank you for the peace that comes from assembling together. I pray, God, now that you would prepare each and every one of us to receive what you have for us through the preaching of thy word. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Verse 21, "This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." The thought of the physical act of praying, the physical act of praying can bring a certain level or degree, if you will, of peace and somewhat comfort to anyone. Most people of every race and religion, as far back as you can go, in every dispensation of time, have turned to a physical act of praying at some point in their lives. But prayer, thing to do. Most people, especially in the society that we live in today, they might go through an act of praying, but it's just a feel-good thing to do. We find the Lord Jesus Christ wanted his disciples to understand and experience the power and blessings of biblical praying. Biblical praying is what we're looking for. In this event that we've just read, recorded in Matthew chapter 17, if you will, it's a signature event for his teaching on prayer and fasting. We've preached several messages from this. It's also found in Mark in chapter 9, and it gives a little bit different insight. And then it's also found in Luke in chapter 9, and we've preached on each one of these to try to encourage and to help people to understand that biblical praying is more than just a feel-good thing to do. It carries with it the very power of God. In this event, a father with a demon-possessed son was looking to Jesus for help. He had taken him to Jesus' disciples who had been given the power to heal. Jesus sent them out and he gave them power over demons, over devils. He gave them power over sicknesses. And they had been going out, and this is a time of signs and wonders, and it was a transitioning period of time when Christ would come, the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And so his apostles, his disciples, were going out and revealing just what you can do as long as you look to the power that Christ has given to us. And they were actually doing this. They were healing, and they were casting out devils, which would bring healing to those that was demon-possessed. But they could not. The Bible says that they could not heal this particular boy. Verse 19. Then came the disciples after Jesus had healed the boy. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why? We had been doing it. We had been casting out devils. We had been seeing the healing. We have been going in the power that you had given to us. Why could not we heal this boy or cast out this particular demon?" In this, we find the first lesson taught by the Lord Jesus Christ for his disciples and for you and I to understand the power of praying. The very first lesson that he teaches them was on faith. And can I tell you, that is what separates just feel-good physical act of praying and praying with power. It begins with this understanding of faith. Now, first of all, in verse 17, he says, when he hears this father comes and said, "I took him to your disciples and they could not cure him." Then Jesus responds, first of all, then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation." He was addressing the disciples for something that he had empowered them to do, which they could have done, but they did not do. And the reason that they did not do it, because of his own words in presenting this, it was because of being faithless. To the extent of being able to carry out what God had for them to do and being able to cast out this demon. It was something he sent them out to do, so it was something they could do, but they had not done. And then when they asked him, then he presents it again in verse 20, when he says to them, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief," which is hand in hand with being faithless. They gave up. This boy comes, and you can imagine what had been happening, and they had been seeing wonders. They had been seeing God work in miraculous ways, just in their connection with Christ and through prayer, and then in Jesus' name, casting out these demons. And they had been going, and people had been healed from demon possession, and people had been healed from all kinds of diseases and infirmities, and all that was taking place during this time. What a wonderful time on planet Earth when Jesus, God himself, was manifested in the flesh and walked in this on the planet Earth and was showing the power of God. And now the disciples, because they had looked by faith into Jesus, knowing him to be the Messiah, and he had given them the power to do this, and they had been doing some of these things. What a miraculous, a wondrous time it was, until they come upon this boy. And when they come upon this boy, they tried to cast out this demon as they had done before through the power of faith and prayer. But we find here that this demon would not come out. And they gave up. Christ was upset with his disciples because it was something that he sent them out to accomplish, and they could have accomplished it, but they gave up. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on whatever it is that God has you to accomplish. If he's called you to do it, he will enable you to get it done. Don't be faithless. Don't give up. We give up when we lack faith. Or, in this particular instance, an awareness of what it takes to get the job done. They had somewhat been faithless because they didn't go back to God in prayer to find out what needs to be done. We know that we can do this. We know that you want us to cast out these demons. And so we tried, but there has to be something that we're missing here. And instead of going back to Christ or praying to God and asking for a revelation, understanding of what they were missing out on, they gave up. What they would eventually find out, what he would tell them, howbeit this kind goeth not out. It's a little different than what you normally face. What you were facing before, faith and prayer was able to get it done. But this kind, can I tell you, all of us will face this kind at some point in our lives. Don't give up. If it's something you know it's what God would have you to do, if it's something that you know that God wants to work in your life, don't give up. Don't be faithless. Don't let unbelief control your heart and your mind. Just be aware of this kind. Goeth not out, but by. And he reveals it to him. Prayer and fasting. You could have done it. You could have done it. If you would have come back to me, if you would have searched the scriptures, if you would have done more of what you needed to do to realize this can be done, I'm missing out here. Either I don't have enough faith to believe it could be done, or I'm missing out on what else I need to do to get it done. And that would have been fasting. That's what he tells them. So first of all, this lesson on faith, a belief in who God is. Do you truly believe that God is who he says he is? That Jesus Christ was truly God, the creator of all things, who was there in the very beginning of creation, and nothing was created outside of his creating it? Do you truly believe? Do you have faith enough to believe that he was there? He was the one that created all things? If you believe that, you have faith to know that it can be done, whatever it might be. That's faith. Believing that in who God is. Matter of fact, look with me to Hebrews in chapter 11, a very well familiar passage of scripture. We need to learn this. Hebrews in chapter 11, the faith chapter of the Bible. It's the only place in scripture that you have a definition of what faith is. A biblical definition of faith and how it works. The Bible says in verse 1, now faith is. This is God saying, this is the definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You just got to have belief that he can do it even though you can't see it. You have to have faith that he exists even without being able to see him with the naked eye. Through faith, verse 3, through faith we understand. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You don't have to see it. No one has ever seen it. We believe creation because faith tells us to believe the Bible. The Bible records it. It's been written down, recorded for us, and so I have faith to believe the Bible is God's word, and if the Bible says it, it's true. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, but without that kind of faith, without biblical faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him or God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Who is he? He's exactly who he says he is. The Bible records who God is. And mark it down, he is exactly who he says he is. And he has done what he said he did. And he will do what he says he will do. I believe in God and what he's revealed to us in past and what he's revealed to us presently, which is praying to God the power of prayer that we experience today, and what he's going to do later on. I just believe that because the Bible records it. The Bible records who God is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. Do you believe that? That's faith. That's what God wants us to believe. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word of God, you have to believe it to be true, and that increases your faith. Faith cometh by hearing. As you hear the word of God being preached, as you hear the word of God, as you read it, as you study it, as the Spirit of God reveals it to you, it's going to increase your faith. Romans in chapter 10, this is what happens. Romans in chapter 10. Everybody following me this morning? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Powerful stuff right here. I love this month of prayer and fasting. Romans in chapter 10, verse 14. Now then how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You have to believe in Jesus to call upon Jesus. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You got to hear about Jesus before you can believe in Jesus. And if you not believe in Jesus, you will not call upon Jesus. How then shall they call on him to whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to bring people to that understanding of faith in who God is and what we must do to be saved. Hearing leads to believing, and believing leads to trusting and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou, that's everyone of every dispensation, every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability from the beginning, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, who was the Messiah in the Old Testament, looking forward to his coming, while he was here, they was looking to him being with them. Once he ascended, ever sitting on the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Now from this point in this New Testament church age, it's looking back to what he had done and where he's at today, ascending into heaven to be an intercessor for us. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, that is the key, not just a head knowledge, but it has to be believed in your heart, from within your very being. You might not understand it all. You might not be able to comprehend it all with your mind, but your heart can. Your heart can know it's true. Your heart can look beyond whatever else might confuse your mind, but your heart knows that it's real. And so he says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, once it's in your heart, shall not be ashamed. You'll never not believe it. So, at salvation, a door is opened from your heart to God's. And prayer no longer is just a feel-good thing to do. Does it feel good? It does feel good. Is it exciting? It is very exciting. Does it give peace? It does give peace. Does it comfort you? Yes, it does. But it's more than just a feeling. It's a reality that I have a communication line open to the Creator of all things. Woo! I'm telling you now, when that sinks in, you'll be shouting too. Yeah. A door at salvation. Before salvation, the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We don't truly know God. We just go through motions. Some people go through motions in coming to church every Sunday. Some people go through motions and just repeating words from a prayer that Jesus was teaching you how, he was teaching you what prayer is all about. An example of what you could pray for. An example of looking to God as your heavenly Father. It was never intended just to quote it over and over again. That's an act of praying. An act of praying, it might make you feel good, but it's not accomplishing what God established prayer to accomplish. We need to get more out of prayer than just a feel-good sensation. And that's exactly what Jesus was teaching his disciples. It has to be based on faith. Once that door has been opened to your heart, from your heart to God's, we have the blessing of communicating by way of praying. Psalms chapter 66. I want you to see what the psalmist wrote. And God's recorded it for us. In Psalms chapter 66, beginning in verse 16. The Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God. Okay, you have a reverence for God. You know who he is. And if you know who God is, you can't but reverence him. If you believe he just is a figment of somebody's imagination, then you'll call him the man upstairs. You'll refer to him as a person. Listen to me. No, you refer to him as who he is. He's God. Amen. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Heart condition. What turns my heart from being a heart filled with a sin nature is the righteousness of God. When I received Jesus Christ, I received the righteousness of God. And that righteousness of God is dwelling within me with the person of the Holy Spirit. And that will make a difference in my heart. Because with the Holy Spirit of God inside of me, he is the one that opens that door of my heart to the heart of God. And I communicate. God does not listen to the words as much as he listens to the heart. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. You don't know how to pray. You just follow your heart. Amen. It doesn't matter if you have the thous and all the right wording in place. What you need to do is communicate with God, your heart to his heart. That's prayer. That's communication. Stop worrying about having to say the right things or saying the wrong things. As long as your heart is right with God, listen to me, He knows what you mean. He does. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's no communication. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. God, attending to your voice. Amen. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Wow. Prayer was designed by God as a tool by which believers, that is those of faith, anyone can have a physical act of prayer, only those of faith can actually communicate with God. And you have to know who He is. You have to believe who He is. Prayer was designed by God as a tool by which believers can communicate with Him. Jesus prayed so His disciples could see the importance and the power of prayer, to the place where His disciples came to Him at one point and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. We want the very same power in our prayer life. Teach us to pray." Jesus would tell them in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because if you truly have a communication line open to God, you'll not give up. Fainting is giving up. Fainting is quitting. If you truly are communicating with God and you know who it is that you are talking to and you know what it is that He would have you to do, listen to me. Disciples, the reason He was upset and said that you were faithless is because you gave up. Don't give up. Don't give up. God hears your cry. God knows what's taking place in your heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves. There is power in biblical faith and prayer. His disciples had this. But this wasn't enough for this kind. And so the second lesson that He would teach them is verse 21. Howbeit. See, most of the time, faith, genuine faith, and prayer is enough. I would say in our lifetime, probably 99% of the time, biblical faith, true biblical faith, and just communication with God will get the job done. But if you don't know of this extension to prayer, there's going to be a this kind come into your life. And when it comes into your life, it will defeat you. Not because you can't defeat it. It's because you're not looking to God for what you're missing out on to get the victory. And what you're missing out on to get the victory will be, most of the time, fasting. That's what He tells them, this kind. Howbeit, you have prayer. I know you have faith. The faithless was in you didn't take it far enough. You didn't have a faith enough but to realize you're missing out on something. There is something else available to me so I can do this. You didn't do that. And you run upon this kind. And so His second message was, howbeit. Yeah. This kind goeth not out. You're not going to get the victory over it. you're not going to be able to overcome it unless you apply this: prayer and fasting. Webster's definition would give a definition of fasting as abstaining from food. A biblical definition, if you study the scriptures and what Jesus taught concerning this fasting, would be abstain from food and pleasures for a period of time for power with God. They lack power to cast out this demon. Jesus showed them it could be done. He did it. And they have his power with them. He gave it to them. But Satan blinded them to it, and they could not. And he said, you can, but you need this extension. An extension to prayer. In your bulletin there, you'll see on the front of it some extensions there. I love the illustration of for a mechanic. Mechanic, you might be trying to get to a certain bolt that has to be either unloosed or tightened down, and you just can't get to it. You've been trying everything until you realize, I just need a little extra help. You have a socket, you have a wrench, you have a ratchet, but you just can't get down there to get the socket on that particular bolt. Well, it's because not that you can't get there, you just need something a little bit more than what you have. What you have that has been designed for mechanics is called an extension. When an extension hooks up to the ratchet and it hooks up on the other side to that socket, and when you put the extension on there, the socket goes down farther than what you can go without it. And when you have an extension, you can get on that bolt and you can either loosen it or tighten it. It's an impossibility to get to that bolt without the extension that is available. For a fisherman, I love the illustration of the fisherman. I was out fishing, and I got around some grass, and every time I'd throw a lure over there, I'd bring back nothing. I just had monofilament line on. I lost like three different lures before I realized there's something over there that's different than what kind of fish I've been catching. And so what I did, I tied a steel leader onto my line. A steel leader cannot be bitten through, no matter what kind of teeth that fish has. Not going to go through steel. And as soon as I tied that steel leader on, I threw that over there. And the very first time I threw it over there, that same fish or one like it hit that lure. And it was used to biting through because it was a grass pike. And grass pike, even in freshwater here in Indiana, have teeth. And when I threw that over there with that steel leader, something happened. That fish could not get off. And I'm thinking, yes, you're not stealing any more of my lures. And I start reeling it in and saying, I got the victory. I finally got that fish. Brought it in. It had razor sharp teeth, as grass pike have. Without the steel leader, I would have never caught that fish. Steel leaders have been available to fishermen for a long, long time. But I had to use it. God says, most of the time, faith and knowing who I am. And using that open communication line that you have from your heart to my heart, most of the time is going to take care of it. But there will be a time, mark it down, where you're going to need an extension. Something a little that attaches to your prayer life. And when you take advantage of what's available to you, you can get the victory that I want you to have. That's fasting. This kind. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out. A demon's not going to leave unless you understand prayer and fasting. Wow. Faith, God wants us to have it. Without faith, you will not pray. If you're not praying, you don't have faith to believe who God is. Once you have faith and you pray, praise the Lord, you can accomplish some great things. Amen. But that's not all there is. We had better understand and better have in our tackle boxes that extension when this kind comes. And we're facing something that we will not be able to get the victory from unless we use the extension of prayer and fasting. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. That's biblical prayer and fasting. That is something that we established some 18 years ago as our church was going through some very difficult times. As a pastor, I could not get the victory in my own heart and mind over all the things that were going on. And I looked to God, and God reminded me of the extension of fasting. And that's what gave me the victory. And ever since that time, our church has been using the month of April so that every member would understand what God has given to us as an extension when we come up against this kind. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for your love. Thank you for the truth that you've given to us concerning faith, prayer, and fasting. I pray this morning, God, that if there's some in here that have just been going through the motions, just want a feel-good sensation, that they would see beyond that to know that they have to truly believe in who you are and do what you say they need to do to be saved. And with genuine salvation, knowing that they have a prayer line opened from their heart to yours. Whatever the need, I pray, God, that you'd minister to it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.